our endeavors for world evangelism, which we've attempted to carry out until we're in just about every major language of the world with a printed page, and though we're barely scratching the surface as to supplying the needs, we're still sending this literature into all the world for a witness. The Bible said when the gospel has been preached into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. And a call to remembrance just before I come in, someone was telling me that some lady was all tore up, had given us some of our books, and she said, you know, I've always heard this thing through the years about the temple being built back in the latter times as to the coming of the Lord Jesus. She said, and on the radio or TV the other day, it was maybe both, she said, I heard that they're building this temple back. And sure enough, we're living in the days of reality when everything is at an end and at a consummation. And if you don't get right, folks, let me tell you, coming to Bethlehem won't help you. If you don't get right coming to Bethlehem every day of your life and even supporting the cause of Bethlehem as to giving or whatever, it won't help you. Going to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic, whatever it might be, it won't help you at all. There's only one thing that will help you. Fasting and praying will not help you. That won't help you. It's when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this again to you by way of remembrance. Fasting and praying will not give you faith. Always remember that. It doesn't matter if you're going on a 10-day fast or a 50-day fast. You don't get any more faith. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. Just strictly by the hearing of the Word of God. And when you hear what He says and you believe it, then you act on it. That's proof that you believe it. Otherwise, you only heard it. And when this Word comes to you, that's your faith. Then you can fast. Then you can pray. Then you can sacrifice. Then you can attend church. You can do anything you want to help the poor, the needy, whatever. You can do it then, and it will strengthen your faith. As the Bible said, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He never staggered at the promises of God. Faithful Abraham, whose children ye are, if ye be faithful. So then, remember that we're here to preach the Word of God. So if you want faith, now's the time to get it. Judgment begins at the house of God. Whosoever sins, the minister remits, shall be remitted. Whosoever sins that the minister retains, shall be retained. As my Father sent me, so send I you, Jesus said to the minister. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. Even the congregation has that right. But he says to the ministry, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And so then we're here this morning by the preaching of the word of faith, not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us. The Bible says that we're the temples of Almighty God. Let all the world keep silence. Let every man be a liar, and the word of God be true. No matter if it's a philosopher, professor, no matter what his confession of life is, let him be a lie, and the word of God be true. And we're here this morning to speak to you, not us speaking, but God speaking. Even the word of God that comes forth to you, by the which you receive faith, if you give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. The Bible said, listen to your dame, you should let them slip, and that you should take heed how that you hear the word of God. All right, so we're going to read this morning from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 25. This is a simple message, and yet there's nothing simple in the Word of God in the sense that great is the mystery even of faith. And Paul said, we are a steward of the mysteries of God, and it's required of a steward to be faithful. But it's simple to this extent. The Bible said that no man should beguile you and lead you away from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ Jesus. So that if you've got your Bibles, chapter 25, I know you trust Brother Pike, and I think that's wonderful. I think it's great. It's wonderful. I love you for that. And truly, indeed, we should trust one another on the basis of the Word. Follow me as I follow Christ. But the Bible teaches that we're not to go down to Egypt for a help. Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. So then, we are they that have no confidence in flesh. Not even our husbands or wives or sons or daughters or daddies or mothers or anybody else. We are a soul, an individual soul with an individual sovereignty that's headed for the judgment. And someday daddies and mothers will be no more, and brothers and sisters will be no more. Friends and relatives in this world will be no more. Husband and wife will be no more. Beyond the grave, we'll just be a sovereignty as an individual that must stand before God. So then we don't put any confidence in anything except the Word of God or Christ Himself. And as I say so often, I say, well, this is my brother. This is my sister. My mother. But then when, as the Bible says, they came to Jesus and said, it was said of them that your mother wants to see you, your family wants to see you. He said, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? They that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Or that is to say, I might be with my brother here 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I might be with my mother and daddy 40 years. You know, and after that, no more. And then beyond the grave, my heavenly Father comes on the scene. Though he comes on the scene here, if we can see him. He comes on the scene. And then my mother, which is the church, which bore me and carried me, tutored me and taught me, comes on the scene. And then comes my brother and my sister, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as a memberly body. And these members in particular. So then, here they come. And whereas I spent 20 years with my brother, 30 years with my sister, all of a sudden I spent 10,000 years. And then I spent another 10 million years. And then I spent the 10 billion years. And then I'm not even got started. Good. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. Take a little explaining. But then, 10 billion years later, as we would say, you know, 10 billion years later, you say, my God, this must be my brother and sister here. Must be my brother. This must have been my brother and sister all the time. Who was them other folks? Well, if they're there, they'll be your true brother and sister. But if they're not there, won't be no remembrance of them. They never were to begin with. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Just the family of God, as Brother Rowell used to sing. Chapter 25, Matthew's reading at the first verse. All right, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Dwelling just a few minutes here on the foolish virgin. I think this is a timely day as to make mention of not having the oil. As of late, we've had a number of people that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and not here in the church. Maybe one or two here in the church that the Spirit has fell on. But I can see that it's breaking more and more to them that are in the church. It's like I felt the Holy Ghost fall when we were singing. The Bible said, as Peter spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. I felt the Holy Ghost fall during the singing service. And that means that hearts are being more conditioned. People are getting more and more the fear of God, and they're beginning to try to absorb the wonderful words of God more and more and realize the fear of God. The Bible said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And the Bible said the essence of the whole thing, as to the summary of our life or whatever's been taught or whatever, is to fear God and keep His commandments. So then we're having people, a lot of the young people, filled with the Holy Ghost on the outside while we're working around here doing something here on the home front. And people are really stirred about the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. For without the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, then you're none of His. There's but one Spirit. If you have not His Spirit, then you have not Christ. You have not eternal life. So to believe is one thing, but to have the seal of that faith, which is the Holy Ghost, as the proof of the faith of Christ, then that is salvation, the faith by which you're sanctified. And I'm often asked the question, who then has the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike? The Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. If we obey God, then He gives us the Holy Ghost. If we do not obey God, then we do not get the Holy Ghost. So then, this is the secret of it all. Jesus, I do always the things that please the Father. Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Brother Pike, oh God, let me have the testimony in my life that I please God. This is the one desire of my heart. If I had anything to ask of God, it would be that one thing. Father, let me please Thee in all things. Alright, so it says here that these virgins, at the midnight cry, there came a midnight cry, and at the midnight cry, the Bible said these virgins arose. It was dark. It was midnight. Whereas the Bible says that gross darkness shall cover the people. Though we're in light as of the present moment, because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And in that the blood is on the seat of atonement, then we have light. And the Bible said, let us work while it is day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work, or that is when the blood will come off of the seat of atonement. The mercies of God will be gone. And he that walketh in the night, he stumbleth. But he hath no light. So then, here we are in this day of light. Let us work, therefore, while it is light. For ye are children of light, and ye can work while it is light. And we can have the wonderful benefits of God as to this mind of light. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, even the mind of light. So then, ye as children of God, the Bible tells us that ye have the minds of Christ. So then we are children of light. And the Bible said if we be children, then are we heirs and partakers of the wonderful benefits of God. So then we are children of light. We are walking in the light. If ye walk in the light, even as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. When you come to church and you sit on the bench as a scorner, or as a jealous person, or a resentful person, or you stand in the way of sinners as to not living as you ought to live, not conducting yourself right in the house of God, not having the right testimony, not showing the life of Christ, when you stand in the way of sinners, then are you children of darkness. This means that you are blind and cannot see where you're going. For the Bible said, as to them that are lost, if this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, whose eyes, as to the eyes of their understanding, Satan has blinded, that they may not see when good cometh. But ye are children of light. Ye know when the day is upon you, even nigh, even at the door. So then we do not walk in night. The Bible said that God hath delivered us from the darkness, even Satan's kingdom of darkness, and hath by faith in Christ Jesus, as to his own works and righteousness, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets till John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, the kingdom of God is here in the earth, and men press their way into the kingdom of God. Even as it was when Philip and the others was preaching, and there was great joy as God worked the wonderful miraculous in that day. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. In that day, as to be in the kingdom of light, or being translated into the kingdom of light by faith. So then we find that we are translated into this wonderful mind of Christ, which is the kingdom of light. And we're translated out of, or taken from, the mind of darkness, even the mind of death that fell over Adam and Eve in the garden. So then we're taken from this world of darkness into the world of light. But right now, at this particular time, though this light is here, soon the blood is to come off of the seat of atonement. When it comes off of the seat of atonement, then that means that the whole world will be filled with darkness. But the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And this gross darkness is already setting in. What is this gross darkness? It's intellectual reasoning. It is a credibility that is given to self as self-esteem, as one esteems himself, as one raises up his own self, as lovers of self more than lovers of God, and as those that accredit to themselves, as in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the great wonderful things of life that they have accomplished in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, after Daniel had warned him of the great dream where God would make him a beast and put him out and let the dews of heaven fall on him until he learned better than to do wrong. Even in that day, as he went about through the great Babylonian kingdom, he looked at all the greatness of that kingdom. Beholding all of these things, he saw all these things, and he said, look at all of these things that my hand hath made and gotten me. And the Bible said about that time, as it was with Belshazzar, as to the handwriting on the wall, weighed in the balances and found wanting, a voice began to speak. And all of a sudden his senses left him, and he lost his mind, and he was driven out among the beast, and he was there until seven times could pass over him. For the prophecy of the night vision to him had been, and seven times shall pass over him. And there he was out doing all of this time, and the darkness fell upon him, and he had the mind of a beast, and his nails grew out like claws, and his hair grew out like feathers. And there he stayed until the seven times passed over him. And then came the great loving Spirit of God, and it came upon him. And when it came upon him, his mind came back to him. And he was restored to the glory of his kingdom. But in this season of his life, he never done like he did in the first part of his life. He went about saying, look what God has done. And I know that God ruleth in the affairs of men. And I know that God has his way in all things. And God has done all of this, and I'm just his servant. See, and it was altogether different. Today, man has come to the old Babylonian kingdom, the old Nebuchadnezzar way of life. Look at the youth. They're driven out of their minds, though they have all kind of education, though they're going to college regular, they're going to schools regular, but they're driven out of their minds and their hair has grown out like feathers. When the Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but it doesn't faze them. Their faith is not in the Word of God. It's in their own human reasoning and that thrust of lust that's working within their members. And there's something on the inside of them that God gets a repercussion from that repels the things of God. You know, when you're trying to tell them that it's a shame, that the Word of God says it's a shame that they'll have to answer to God, the judgments will come. The mother, she doesn't like that. The daddy doesn't like that. The son, the daughter doesn't like that. You know, there's something repelling on the inside of them, which is the devil, which is the carnal mind that's enmity with God. See, it should reach out and embrace those words, take those words and embrace them and say, oh my God, help me that my son and daughter should glorify thee. And oh Lord, that my heart, even the intents of my heart should be like unto thine, that I might help my children to have health and long life. But the old repelling spirit brings death by doing the evil things contrary to God. The Bible calls it shortening your days by your disobedience. And so then this brings death. The Bible said if you would see long life, good years and good days, said then honor me, do what I tell you, and don't speak evil. And the Bible said I would that the mothers and daddies would honor me, that it might be well with them and their children all the days of their life. So then we find that this repelling thing is there. They're nailed. I've actually seen women, nails way out here. Folks, you say, oh, you're exaggerating, Brother Pye. No, I would think from what I'm looking at here, I might have it a little short. I'm not sure. But anyway, I've seen them, and I've looked at them, and I thought, God, how in the name of reasoning can a human being stand like that and look like that? Don't they know that's insanity? Don't they know that's weird? But nevertheless, they do that. That was supposed to be something special. Sometimes they just have one fingernail growed out like that. You know? And then I see the little boys, you know, and they cut all their hair off with a little old tiny rat tail, as they call it, on the back. And I think, why do they do this? And then some of them, they cut it in all kinds of shapes on the top of their heads. See, and the women and the men wear all kinds of things on their clothing here, saying, the devil made me do it. And all these crazy things, or they say, I'm the happy dead. These kind of things, what is that? That is a corrupt mind. That's a polluted mind. First of all, it's a corrupt mind that our government and our laws of today would even allow any such thing as to come in to corrupt our children. But we're supposed to be they of sovereignty. We're supposed to be they of freedom. We're the great American people that allow for anything so that everybody can be happy. But folks, let me tell you, that's nothing less than insanity right there. That's nothing less than Nebuchadnezzar losing his mind right there. That shows that the world is turned into beast, and the world has gone out to the beast side. And they're out there in the intellectual darkness, and God is about to let seven times pass over them, or that is to say the 7 years of tribulation, when the Bible said that they will beg for death and not even be able to die out of their misery. Or the seven times is going to pass over them. As to what Jesus said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. See, and we're moving into that season. It's already upon us now. With the coming in of the Jews, so comes the tribulation period. In the coming in of the tribulation period, that means the church automatically is translated and goes out of this world to appear in glory in the same place where Moses and Elijah was when Jesus appeared in glory with him. So we can see by this that the time is nigh at hand. It's even at the door. When you see these things come to pass, know that it's not even at the door. It's the other day I was praying in my living room, and all of a sudden something come upon me. And I went off like into a twilight, which ministers or Christians do sometimes. And I heard something say, the signs of the time are gone. The signs of the time are gone. And then I come out of it and I pondered as to what it could mean. And then I got to thinking, I thought, well, Lord, what it means, perhaps, is that at last the signs of the time are fulfilled. Because I look around me and I can see that the signs of the time have fulfilled. I personally don't know of anything as pertaining to the signs of the time that is not fulfilled. Maybe you know a lot of them, but I don't know of any of them. But what they have fulfilled and the coming of the Lord is at hand. I know one thing that must happen. It's not as a sign of the time, but Jesus said when he sat upon the mount as to talking to the disciples, one thing that he kept emphasizing, and this in Matthew 24 when he sat upon the mount, there as he said, and when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. He said, then that would be the end of the world. And I made the statement, and I make it over again to you, that they would come together and that they would boycott as to a confederation of united effort in an army as a militant power. And that when they come together to bring, as we say, their superpower, that it will fulfill the scripture where it said, and who can make war against him? Because if it's a united effort, it's all armies, who's going to rise up against him? Just like Hussein now. Hussein is like an insane man. God has allowed Hussein to do that to form or to bring about the formation of these armies or to bring about the confederation of these nations. So then God has allowed that. He allowed Hussein to do that. The preparation of man's heart is from God. Can evil come to a city and I have not seen it, saith the Lord? The preparation of man's heart is from me. I create the good. I create the evil. I have my way in both. I wound and I bind up. I rule in the affairs of men. I raise up one. I put down another. Kings and rulers rule by me. So then, poverty and riches, health and happiness, all of that comes still as God makes the allowance. Love to go into that, but anyway, we can't say anything about it this morning. So we find that Hussein has done this because God has allowed it. Now the armies are formated. But I told the people, I said, their ultimate drive will be against Israel. And you'll see that this coming together as a boycott of armies will be to surround Israel or Jerusalem to bring the end of the world. I said, that's what it's for. At the vision I had where I had the thing by the beard and it whirled and whirled and it stretched out over all the world, and then the fire and brimstone came. And I saw the fire and brimstone pour down upon the world, and it never stopped burning until everything burned into ashes. And as I've said in the past, there I stood with a little group of people in the millennium, and the great millennium had come. And I was telling them that we had last come into the millennium. All the death and burning was over, and during the time of the burning, I was shielded by a shield or a place as to a covert from a storm to where nothing could harm me. All right. When we think of this, we see the armies boycotted. Did you know that when Gorbachev came to the United States, the one thing that he was requesting was a world army of one united militant power? And did you know that when all the nations come together, no nation would dare fight against him, not even Hussein. Hussein is already trying to back up now like a weasel trying to find a hole. Already he's afraid. See, because who can make war against him? If that is the right kind of united force, and I say that, I mean if all of them are in one mind, in one accord, then nobody can make war against a power like that. So then we realize that this is against Israel. And sure enough, not too long ago, shortly after they had united together and confederated, the paper stated that all of them were angry with Israel because of what had happened at the Wailing Wall and a few things. All of them were upset at Israel. But I've noticed that there hasn't been one publication that I've read. Perhaps it's been published by the news medias, and perhaps you've read it, but I've never read one publication where that all of them are upset with Egypt, or the others there when somebody got there and gunned down a number of the Israelites as they crossed the border, helpless people in buses, which could have been you and I, because some of our people have crossed that very boundary line, as far as I know, in buses. And when they shot and killed a number of them, wounded numbers of them, I haven't heard anything about it, which proves that their aggression is against Israel. All of them got upset at Israel. And then another thing I said, if this uniting of armed forces or this move of armed forces is of God, is the great superpower to bring us peace, I said, why is Israel a rejected stone? I said, out of all of them, Israel wasn't included in it. I said if it had been of God, Israel would have been number one in it, because the Bible said Israel will become the head of the nations. After America has finished her episode of life, the days of the Gentiles will be over, and Israel will be the head of the nation, and Jesus and the apostolic leaders will be on the throne ruling Israel while Israel rules the world. If it had been of God, why would it not have gone that way? See, it could not have gone that way, because the one thing that I pointed out, brethren, was this, that the Bible said when the united forces come, I told you this months and months ago, when the united forces come, that it would bring about the United States of Europe that we spoke of, and that all of the world trade will move into Europe. It'll move over in that direction. And then when it does, this united force, it will bring on a kingship. I don't have time to go into all those things in detail, how it will formate. We've got some things on it here on tape. Now, when it comes together, the great leader, as the Antichrist, will take over, and he will completely rule the world. At his command, all of the armies will go to war, but not Israel. At his command, everybody will bow to him and build an image to him, but not Israel. And the Bible said, "And tidings out of the east, out of Israel, shall trouble him. And he will go forth with his united forces to find fault with Israel, to make them extinct, to eradicate them from the earth, because the tidings out of the east that's going to trouble him will be this. When he makes himself God and sets himself up as God, the tidings out of the east is going to be, our God is coming. We're still looking for our Messiah. And he isn't going to look like that at all. So he's going to unite those armies, go against Israel, and completely try to eradicate them from the face of the earth. And when he does, he's going to meet the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The Bible speaks of Revelation 19. And the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is going to meet him head on. And the Bible said he'll be sitting on a white horse with a vesture dipped in blood, and across it'll be wrote the word of God. And the Bible said all of the armies of heaven, including me, that will be there on white horses saying hallelujah as we say glory to God, amen, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And the Bible said that he'll move with a sword coming out of his mouth until the valley literally overflows with blood. It will come so deep until it will be up to the horse's bridle. And God will set Jesus upon the throne. The nations will crown him the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. At that time, the wise virgins that have all, having escaped the darkness of the day that we're living in, will be there to crown him Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Notice in this, it said at the midnight cry, gross darkness covering the people, intellectual reasoning. They will lean to their own understanding. When God said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And so then, leaning to their own understanding, they have come into this rim of darkness. Their nails have grown out. Their hair has grown out. They are nothing but beasts. And the Bible said not only beasts, but some of them are brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. Or they are beasts. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. So then there are beasts. These are beasts. And they will do their own thing, and they will go their own way. And they will be exactly what they want to be. And nobody's going to change them. They're not going to pay any attention to what you say. And the Lord said, go warn them. I've made you a watchman on the wall. Tell them. Said they're not going to honor you. They're not going to do what you tell them to do. But warn them anyway. Said, else I'll require the blood of your hand. So then we warn them and we tell them. And God will require the blood at their own hand. For Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. I preach the gospel to you. And if you don't honor God and don't obey it, your blood be upon your own head. So then the gross darkness is covering the people, and they're becoming beasts, and they're out of the darkness now, and the tribulation is soon to come to bring about these things that were related to you as to the battle of Armageddon and the King of Kings coming. So at this hour, you that are still in Christ, that still esteem the word of God, that still have the light at this moment, then the Bible teaches that we should work while it is day. For soon the night cometh when no man can work. And do you that are without, if you can hear this voice, as to the grace being over you, the rain on the unjust as well as the just at this time, giving you a chance of repentance to come to the light, not that you could ever comprehend this, but coming to the light to taste of this wonderful word, to be made partakers of the Holy Ghost as to the rain being poured upon you. He said, while you come in this day of grace and the travail of the saints, then move on in. Move on in. If you can hear this, if you can see this, if you can get a hold of this, move on in while you can and become part of this great, wonderful kingdom of God. Because if you can come to this light, if you can see this light, if you can hear this light, though you're out in darkness right now, in the sense you've never repented, never come to God, but if you can see this, if you can get a hold of it, if you can come to God while it is day. Draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now is the time to come to God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The bridegroom is saying come. The bride is saying come. Let whosoever will come. Come now to God. And while you're coming to God, surrender to God. Don't be going and coming all the time. Don't do that. Swear to your own hurt. Change not. Come to God. Receive God. Repent of your sins. See, and of course these tapes go out all over the world. So then, come to God. Hear God. And when you come to God, stay with God. Don't be up and down and in and out. The Bible said don't mess with them that are given to change. And the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. So come to God and be stable in God. Be anchored in the words of truth. So at the midnight cry, the Bible said, these virgins arose. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise, go ye out to meet him. And the Bible said the wise arose. They trimmed their lamps. And they had oil in their lamps. And the Bible says, at that time there was a shaking also of the unwise virgins. So then when they rose up, they said, give us of your oil. Give us of your oil. And I say the wicked, I'm speaking of those that are without. Well, the virgins here have a different meaning altogether. But anyway, they rose up and they said, give us of your oil. And the righteous said, no. No, the revival's over. You don't pray anybody through anymore. Used to, when somebody would come to the altar, the whole church would flock in and pray for hours. Not anymore. You have to ask people to come to the altar just to pray with one that's at the altar. The whole church can be standing around, even here at Bethlehem, and one in the altar, and unless something's said, no respond. No respond. See, what it is that the days of revival is over. It's gone. It's leaving. Even the hearts of the ministries is leaving America and going to the foreign fields just as a path between America and Israel to get this gospel back to where it come from, in that salvation's of the Jew and it came from there to you and I. So at the ending of the days of the Gentiles, it goes back to the Jew. And the veil of death comes off of their eyes. And then the days of the Gentiles is over. And then comes the tribulation period. For then comes the translation as to Thessalonians change. And then are left the people to go through the tribulation period, whether religious or otherwise. But anyway, I just said that to say this, that these virgins came. And they knocked. But he wouldn't let them in. The wise virgins had said, you better go find the oil for yourself. They went out to seek the oil. It doesn't say that they returned with the oil, but they did go out to get the oil to them that sail. To get the oil. And we brought out some things on this also. But anyway, when they come, he did not open the door. They were still in the dark. They were still in the dark. He did not open the door. And he said unto them, I know ye not. I know you're not. See, workers of iniquity, they said, Lord. One place they said, you ministered in our streets. Lord, we did great things in your name. People are prophesying, people are praying, great revivals, and people getting miracles as the rain comes on the unjust, and these preachers that are evil and ugly in their daily disposition and walk, that transform their minds by the renewing of the word as to the anointing falling upon the unjust, as to the rain being on the unjust. They renew their minds in these things after they've been just as corrupt in their folly. They come during this season of grace and they preach to them, and great miracles take place, not because of them, but because the rain is on the unjust, and some simple-minded, humble heart comes seeking relief, and the word of God does not return unto him void. And Paul said, whether they preach the gospel for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, the gospel is preached, and I herein rejoice, whatever their motives might be. But anyway, the word is there. The word, and then many of them will say, Lord, didn't we work miracles in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Some will say, didn't we speak in tongues in your name? Didn't we shout in your name? Lord, don't you remember the gifts working in our life? Even though the Bible says that in the day of Saul, he prophesied so much when the anointing came upon him that the prophets thought that he was a prophet. But when he got out from under that, he was as wretched as he could be. Even in the days of Balaam, when the Bible said that he could see a vision with his eyes open, he could see great visions and these things happening. But the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness, and God rebuked him for his wicked doings and had him killed. Or that is, he turned Satan loose on him and let Satan kill him because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. All right, so there's a lot of people in the world today that are supposed to be fortune tellers and all kind of things, and even preachers that sell their gifts. Some sell it under a tent, some in an auditorium, some on a radio, but they still sell their gifts. They've always got something to sell, or they got a good deal for you, just like the woman. By the way, she does the same thing. She has a gift. Some of those people actually have gifts. I know that of a truth. Some of them actually have gifts, but they've sold it to the devil. And because of that, like Balaam, they love the wages of unrighteousness, and God will destroy them. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? All right. As the writer said, sing them over again to me. Wonderful words, beautiful words. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see these wonderful words. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. So then let's give the more earnest heed to what we heard this morning. Taking the word that we might have faith. And by this, God will cast the unclean spirits out of your life. By this, God will heal you. For the Bible said he sent his word and healed them. With his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. And so then, if you're having trouble this morning with spirits of oppression or jealousy, fault finding, whatever it might be, God will cast them out. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And the Bible said, then you can resist the devil after you draw nigh to God, and the devil will flee from you. All right, let's stand together, can we? Pray for us. Pray that the doors will be open throughout the world for world evangelism as we go into our missionary work this year. And pray for our radio broadcast. God's blessing us in a number of radio broadcasts. We have been on radio broadcasts that covered the nation and different parts of the world, both on television and radio. We are on a number of broadcasts now that God's blessing us with, reaching thousands and tens of thousands of people. And pray for them, and pray for our Lebanon broadcast that we can have the blessings upon it that would open the eyes of the Jew, in that I think it real timely at this season of life. For us to have that broadcast, because the days of the Gentiles, as we preach, is closing out. And now God is taking the word to the Jews, and the veil has to be rent in twain for them, even as it has been rent in twain for you. And with the opening of their eyes, then comes the Antichrist, and then comes the translation of the church. So let's just praise the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praises. Praise the Lord, for God inhabits the praise of his people. He is a spirit, and he is in our midst. When two or three are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst of us. And he walks in you, he talks in you, he's your God, and you're his sons and daughters. And the Bible tells us that we should praise Him, for God inhabits the praise of His people. All right, let's sing together. Don't forget the services tonight. Invite somebody to come out and be with us, and let's talk about this wonderful word of life. While it is still available through the grace, it's the blood on the seat of atonement, be sure to go out and get your part of the treasure and gather the people in that they may be jewels of life. It'll be a crown. It'll be a crown with jewels of life. And it'll be a crown of a life that fadeth not away. Not as a natural crown that you set on your head, but a crown that is a crown of glory that will crown your very soul. It will crown your very soul. This glory will illuminate your soul throughout eternity. And as that glory radiates, to fill the area of your dwelling within that radius, you will find people that come to God that outshine the noonday sun as to a brightness, as to a sparkle of a radiant jewel. And that part of it will be your crown. And some over 5 cities, some over 10 cities, or whatever, and numbers of them will sit on the throne as to the 24 kings around the throne. And the Bible said, God hath made you priests and kings, and you shall rule and reign with Him forever. Even sons, even greater than just a regular king or priest, as them that will dwell without the city. Many of you are sons, and many of you are the bride that will be there with Him throughout eternity. Some of you are the friends of the bridegroom. Some of you are children of the bride chamber. Some of you are the handmaidens. But whatever it might be, we have a place in God as to whatever God has determined. Now, being predestinated, we therefore children by elect as to foreknowledge. So we find that we can be a soul winner. Invite them to come to church. Go out and gather the jewels. Gather the jewels. And as the songwriter said, don't trade your life eternal, for Satan's jewel crown, as they used to say. Go out and win souls. Bring those souls in. We sing that little song, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. So then let's go out into the fields and let's win souls. And let's bring them in. Bring them in to Jesus. Let's sing that little chorus. Give me another key for it. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Oh, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Go and bring the wandering ones. Can you sing that with me? Let us bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go and bring them in, go and bring the wandering one to Jesus. You know what? The Lord's counting on you, like the writer said. I've counted on Abel. And then he said, I've counted on Judas, counted on others. But he tells how each one of them failed him. And then the writer said, I'm counting on you. And of course we failed except through Jesus our Lord. But we sing praises to bring them in. Go and bring them in. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled, the Bible says. Go and bring them in. Spend your time gathering jewels for the master's bouquet. See, go out there and gather those people. Let the house of the Lord be literally filled up and overrunning. While we were over in Sweden, preaching there in the country of Sweden, one of the things that was fascinating, and that is that the youth that had come from America through a man's ministry, we found that they had been on the streets of Sweden. The man was having a meeting there, and we found that they'd been on the streets of Sweden, and they had gone out into the parks, and they'd gone out among the teenagers, and they literally had that place filled up and running over, from what I understand, while the man was there. You know, I hear people say, give us a youth program, Brother Pike. And like I told my wife, I said, Betty, I don't read in the Bible where there was any kind of youth program. I said, where did they have that in the early church? I said, every youth program I've ever heard of turned out to be nothing. In every church I ever heard of, it turned out to be social benefits and turned out to be nothing. Somebody said, well, you just don't believe in the youth program. When I came along, I had all kind of youth programs. And I stayed with the Bible with mine, and the devil tried to turn it into lasciviousness. But I held on. I held on. And I prayed. And I got over my point. But I found out that even then, it would have turned into a frolic. And unless somebody definitely prays, seeks God, and holds on, it's nothing but a frolic. It always leads to more worldliness, always leads to social benefits, and it never leads to true repentance and people conforming to the ways of God. Do you want a youth program? There is a program for the youth in God's Word. There's a program for the aged in God's Word. There is a program for all. The Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's a good youth program for you. And be about your father's business as Jesus was when he was set there, 12 years old or supposedly, set there astounding the wise men with the great knowledge of God. He wasn't out in some social party, following his steps. The Bible said he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So then, go out like these youth that was over there in Sweden. Go out into the highways and hedges. Go meet the youth. Tell them about Jesus. Study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. So then, take the words of truth, divide it. Go out there. Talk to them. Let them see the glory of God in your life. Let them see the word in your life. And then when they rise up, they can't stand against you. The Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. They beheld his face as that of an angel. And you go out there and you talk to them, and the first news you know, you'll have a flock of youth following you. Don't lead them to the ball games and the skating rinks and all these other kind of things. Don't be foolish. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Somebody say, oh, there's nothing wrong with these things. Certainly there's nothing wrong with it to them that are carnally minded. But it's death to us. It's the love of the world. It's the frolics of Satan. Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh. But we're spiritual. We don't look at those things as of the flesh. So then we find that we go out into the highways and hedges and bring them in. Folks, I was a youth. I was a young boy. You know what I did? Exactly what I'm telling you. I went out and sang. Sometimes I would hang my guitar around my neck. The sidewalk, wherever it was at. We've had meetings out in the field. We've had them crusades, open air crusades. We've had them under the tent, whatever. And my delight was to go out and get them. And I've had youth all around. And you can go out there and you can tell them about Jesus. I've testified to them when I didn't have any music. You know, and youth that love God like these people in Sweden, they got out and they confounded the elders and confounded the churches, like William Booth, when the churches were in such terrible shape. Back in his day, he went out to the highways and hedges and go out there and talk to people about Jesus. Talk to the youth, lead them, be strong in the spirit so they can't sway you, and lead them into the house of God. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. And when we get back to that and forget about these foolish youth programs they got that's turning the children into a bunch of proselytes, we'll have a great, wonderful revival. We'll have a great move of God. But as long as you segregate and you put the children over here and the mothers over here and the dads over yonder and you separate all of this as to the teenagers and as to the young and to the old, you're going to have yourself a mess. That's what you're going to have. But when they all come together and say, well, he said, what I say to one, I say to all, even the word of God, to the youth, to the aged, or whatever. And he said, if you want to take it far enough, go right down to the little babes. And they marveled, for he said, out of the mouth of babes, God hath perfected praise. When they sing hallelujah, hosanna to the Lamb. And some of the great elders said, what is this? He said, have you never read that out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God hath perfected praise? Let's get him out. That's a good youth program for you right there. The word of God. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. Let's sing again, can we, Brother Taylor? My heart sings out as I call to remember that heartaches here are but a stepping stone. Can you say it with me? That heart be free from trouble, for this troubled world is not my final home. Can you say that? So until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, by faith, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the time he comes and calls me home. Can you sing it then? Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, by faith, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Say it one more time. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, joy I'll carry on. Until that day, my eyes behold the city. Until the day God comes and calls me home. One more time. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, by faith, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God comes to take. I lift it up, Lord, so fill my cup, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul.
Bread of life, feed me till I thirst no more. Until you come and make me whole. Can you sing with me? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of life, feed me till I thirst no more. Until you come and make me whole. Let's sing this little chorus. When I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through, seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the storm that's tied today. I'm a little bit hoarse, but you can still sing. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more trial, one more tear, one more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load, when you get home. Don't let Satan see your fears. Try to smile above your tears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, and it'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load, when you can sing that chorus again. I've got one valley, one more hill. I've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and I can lay down my heavy load. I get home. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's the mountain top. When you stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. Together we can praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit,
I'll hit.
And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes, look up ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top. And when you stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we will praise the Lord. Now, sing it with me again. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you to carry your load.
Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. If you've never given your heart to God, give your heart to God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the days of grace. Now is the time to call upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now is the time to have eternal life. Youth, remember Him in the days of your youth. When the evil days draw not nigh, when after the sowing you look toward the reaping and say, I have no pleasure in what I have sown. But sow righteous seeds for the reaping, the Bible said, which is coming to each and every one. And then we'll rejoice in that day when we hear the Savior say, come ye blessed of crown, ye have won. To sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, while your heart is yet tender, while your heart is yet tender. And the Bible teaches when the branch is tender, then springtime is near, ready to put forth the leaves. Oh, while your heart is yet tender, give your love and affection to the Lord, which won't betray you. And call upon the name of the Lord. Make Him your friend. Make Him your first desire. Make Him your first love. Seek Him first, and He'll give you the desires of your heart, and all of the other things of life will be added unto you. And God will bless you. He'll bless yours. If you sow the wrong kind of seed, even in this present world, you'll reap misery and sickness and heartaches and sorrows and shortening of life, poverty, shame, and misery. But give Him your youth. Give Him your life. Give Him your best. He gave you His youth, and He gave you His life, and He gave you His best. Share then your life with Him. Remember when Jesus went to Calvary, He was only 33 years old. As a young man, He prayed till His sweat became as great drops of blood. What a beauty it is to serve God in your youth. What a beauty it is to give Him your strength. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Just lift your hands up and let's love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you love Him? I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Can you take a moment and praise Him? Take a minute of your time. He may add 10 years to your life like He did Hezekiah. Take away His time. He may shorten your life. Many people are still in the world today, full of age, because they had a little time for Jesus. Many people are out in the grave who died very young because they didn't have any time for the Lord. They sing that song, take a moment and live. Take a moment and live. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord? Can hear my Savior calling. I can't hear my Savior calling. Can you hear Him calling to you? I can't hear my Savior calling. Take your cross and follow. Follow me. And where He leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Take your cross and follow. Follow me. Sing it with me now. I'll go with Him, though it is through the garden where He prayed till His blood became His sweat, became His great drops of blood. There in the garden, praying for you. The Bible said because He offered up supplication with strong crying, He was heard by the Heavenly Father. In your behalf and in my behalf, because He had done no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. He had done no sin, but He was praying for me. Oh, I can't hear my Savior, He's calling. And Solomon said, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. And when the poppies put forth their little faces, and then the turtle will coo to his mate. And when the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land, then you know that resurrection is around the corner. I can hear Him cooing. I can hear Him cooing. You say, how do you hear that? Because I'm His mate. I'm His mate. I can hear Him. See, when a man's in love with a girl, they might be far apart. But when she knows that she has his heart, and he knows that he has her heart, they can hear that cooing one to another. They can hear it far over the waves of the sea, far across the ocean, wherever it might be. Can hear my love, He's calling. Take your cross and follow, follow. And I will praise Him. Can you praise Him? I will praise Him. Lift your hands up in His prayer. The Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give
Can you sing one more time? Die. We'll pray, we'll pray, that Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Bless. Him.